relationship with this station has been vital to progressing and supporting what I do. You're listening to KPFT Houston. 90.1
KPFT FM HD2 Houston.
You are listening to Inner Spectrum on KPFT Houston. Welcome back.
It's us. You already know what time it is. It's your boys, Basil.
And Khalil.
And you're listening to Interspectrum, where we talk about the internet and the spectrum on which it lies. Bam. Easy. Clip and ship. That's how we do this.
You did that, man. That was impressive, actually.
I mean, you know, when you've been in the industry like I've been in the industry, sometimes it just rolls off the tongue, you know what I mean?
It just rolls off the tongue. Speaking of like rolling off the tongue, well, actually, let's get into this first. The song.
That was unintentional, just so you know.
The song we just listened to was actually, Always by Saliva. It's a pretty good song, right?
It was a really good song, yeah. I mean, it's obviously of its time. It's like a mid-2000s. What is it? They call it the aughts now?
Is that what the era is being called?
I think so, yeah. Like, it's aughts? Not really like, yeah.
What does that stand for?
I think it's just like the 2000s, like the double, the triple O's, the aughts.
Oh, that's gotta be just a you thing, bro. I've never heard that.
It's not a me thing because I was not that clever enough to come up with that. So it's definitely like...
Clever?
Yeah, that's what they call it. Like
the, oh, you think that's clever?
08, 09, 0 aught, like the aughts. Aughts? Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I just feel like that's kind of like a reach. I don't know.
Hey, reach? My bad.
Okay. But yeah, this song's good. I'm the one who found it. Me. Yeah.
Yes.
I found it the other day. I was in the car. And I was tired of listening to Drake. I can't lie. I was dead tired of listening to Drake. If I heard another Drake song, I probably would have swerved my car. But I was like, let me listen to something else. I had 3 Days Grace inside my my playlist. And although I do love 3 Days Grace, there's only like two songs that like really do it for me.
Yeah, Semi-Charmed Kind of Life.
You said what?
Semi-Charmed Life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know what you just said, but...
I was singing the name of the song that... Don't mind me.
Oh, the one of the 3 Days Grace songs? I don't even think it's... Yeah, if it's not... I don't even think it's that. It was the Animals. And, I Hate You. Or I Hate Everything About You.
I'm gonna be honest. I completely misremembered the band. I was not thinking. Yeah, Animals and... Hate Myself or something like that.
I Hate Everything About You.
Yeah.
Yeah, those two songs. So I put it on, after I listened to Animals for the third time, I was like, I need something that give off that same vibe. You know what I'm saying? That same, like, oomph. So I just threw on the radio. You know what I'm saying? Like, the, you know how you could, like, pick a song and just, like, have it, like, yeah. And it ended up coming across that. And, man, I'm pretty happy with what I got.
Yeah, no, it was a good song. I liked it a lot, and especially the music video was so funny, dude. I don't know why it made me laugh, but there was a part in it where the guy's driving the taxi and the taxi crashes into another car. Let it be known, in the video, there's only these two cars. So there's this taxi, and then there's just one car in the middle of the lane, and the taxi just happens to crash into the other car. It's like... I think that's why I laughed at it, because it's like, there's only one car. Like, how do you crash into the only car in the street?
All this road and you crash into the only car on the street.
And there's no other debris anywhere else around the car. Like, there's no other pileups. It's just this one car in the middle, and you just happen to crash into it. Just seeing it made me laugh. But other than that, the actual lyrics for the song was pretty good. So, yeah, it was a very good choice for Song of the Week. Pickups on you for finding it. Well, I guess for Spotify, yeah. For putting it in the radio, and then you being like, oh, this is a banger.
Big ups to Apple for putting it in the radio.
Apple Intelligence. Speaking of Apple Intelligence.
Oh, speaking of Apple Intelligence, iOS 27 has just got announced, and it is the worst thing I've ever seen.
I feel like you say that every iOS update. I'm not gonna lie.
See, I think, listen, bro, I'm gonna be real with you. First of all, Apple hasn't changed anything this time around, first of all. But my biggest problem with iOS updates is that they're changing things that doesn't need to be changed. I'm tired of launching up my phone and then, I don't know, getting a text message at the same exact time I'm about to click on something. I feel like that's a valid, you know, something that needs to be addressed. Maybe have it to where notifications are a little bit smaller. You know what I'm saying?
So it doesn't take up so much of the screen.
Yeah. Or maybe figure out this thing where like there's two different ways of answering a phone call and it only shows up in at certain times. Why is there one sliding one and then there's one where it's like red and green? It's things that like simple things that need to be fixed. And instead, they just want to like up on big ups on the Apple Intelligence.
Well, that is sort of the realm of what everybody's doing now with technology, is just focusing on the AI aspect. So they're like, AI this. Do you see the fact that, you know what I also hate? Is the fact that they're like implementing it and just putting it in the systems that like could use it. Because every time I get a text message, and I've missed like a few text messages sometimes, so there's like five messages, and it just AI summarizes the text. And I'm like, I don't really need this. Like, you know, like I sort of need to read the text, because sometimes it says, I think the last one my friend said, like asking about the job and also saying like they're busy. But like reading the text, it was like, oh, you know, I'm busy as usual. So they're telling, they're saying they're busy when I asked them like how they were doing. And they said like, how's your job going? And like, how's that being like? But like, but when an AI summarized it, it made it seem like they had a lot of work to do and they were busy.
Yeah, that was a really big problem, especially when it like the AI summarizing thing was going around, like when it first came out.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like smoothed over a little bit now. It's not as like bad as it used to be, but it used to be bad, dude. Like, there was no point even like using the feature. I remember someone had like returned their iPhone because the summary ended up saying something like that felt way too far fetched. Like, it was something about their like husband dying or something. And it was like he was dying to see her or something like that. She was like, it was like, wow, like, how did you mess that up? But iOS 27, I said this last year, but genuinely the worst update I've ever seen. They really didn't even do nothing. They didn't change anything. They gave Liquid Glass a slider now, so you can like you can choose whether you want it to be transparent or not, and that's it. That's it. Everything else is Apple intelligence. They went full AI this time around. Yeah, they rebuilt Siri from the ground up, apparently.
From the ground up. Why would they need to do it from the ground up?
Look, Basil, I'm just the messenger. All right. I don't know.
Sorry, my bad.
I don't know. It doesn't make sense. Siri is fine how she was. Yeah, they rebuilt Siri from the ground up, added a whole bunch of AI features, and they mixed Apple Intelligence and Google Gemini together so that way they can have some better like usage, because Apple Intelligence was pretty bad. Like, it didn't really do a good job at like anything. You couldn't cut out any like pictures or photos. You couldn't it wasn't very smart. Like, you ask it to do something and it would just ask ChatGPT instead of just like doing it itself.
That is absolutely insane. Having an AI bot ask another AI bot to fix a problem that it was supposed to fix as AI.
What was the point? You know what I'm saying? And then on top of all of that, right? I think Apple has a lawsuit coming up now, because this is what they did was pretty much illegal. They basically were marketing the iPhone 16 as the like the AI phone, right? They built the iPhone 16 to be made for AI. And those AI features never came. But now they're saying that the AI features that we were supposed to have when the iPhone 16 came out can only be used for the iPhone 17 and up. So iPhone 17 and iPhone 18 that's coming out later this year.
Really?
My question is like, why would you lie? You know what I'm saying? If I can't put it on my iPhone 16, then why did I get this phone? I thought these AI features were going to be the end all be all. Yeah, 16, bro. Yeah. So that's a lawsuit.
Well, I guess that's why the lawsuit's coming out.
That's a lawsuit, man. Well, I'm not sure if there's a lawsuit or not, but that's the only thing that makes sense. Though, you know what I'm saying? It's going to happen eventually. I'm not going to be the one to do it. I'm just going to benefit off of it, but.
He said, "I'll follow in the class action, but I won't be the one to start the class action."
Nah, it's too much work, bro. I don't even want to do all that. I'm just take the money when I get it, and then switch to Android. I think it's about time I switch to Android.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair assumption. Honestly, it's been a while since I've used an Android phone, so I feel like I'm actually scared to go back at this point, because I just don't know what I've missed out on in the past 5 years since I've had an iPhone.
Isn't that crazy?
Like,
Like, you used to be like a die-hard Android. Yeah, now look at you. They don't brainwash you in everything.
Since, I mean, they're trying to brainwash me in the first place. What are you talking about? You were so iPhone adamant. I was almost like so tempted to get an iPhone just so you would shut up about it. And now that I have you, you're like, man, I'm trying to go back to
no
Android.
No way.
What are you talking about? That's so true. I mean, I was very Android heavy. Like, I was an Android diehard fan. And I still sort of have an allegiance towards Android just off the base principles of it. But because I've used an iPhone for so long now, I feel like a hypocrite if I were to go back. And you had an iPhone for so long. It's like, well, most of the features I have with you, like when we talk and text, it's usually a little bit more seamless because of the iMessage and all that stuff or FaceTime. So in that way, it's been beneficial. And for the people that I know that have iPhone, it works. But like, so now I don't know what I've missed in the past 5, because 5 years in technology is like centuries
as
in terms of
like
human equivalents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really feel like you missed out on much. It's what, 5 years since you've had Android? I think,
yeah.
You know what's crazy? I think the biggest thing that's happened to Android since, like, in the last 5 years is the ability to, like, interact with iPhone a little bit more.
I don't know. It's just been a while. So, like, now it's like, I'm scared to go back. Because I don't know what I missed out on.
See, I'm scared to jump. But I feel like the jump is going to feel good, bro. I really want that folding phone, man. I just think it looks so cool and makes me feel different.
Can I be honest? I hate that phone.
Which one?
I don't.
All of them?
I guess the Z Fold and the Z Flip. Both of them.
Dang, really?
Like, extra wide phone.
Okay.
It's because it's so wide. It's like, why am I doing this?
What about the Z Flip?
We have this phone. I think the Z Flip is the one that flips like an old flip phone, right? So it's still like a smartphone.
Yeah, like vertically.
That one is a little bit better because I think feasible. But also, it's when I put it flipped in my pocket. Like, it's like this big chunk off of my side piece that's just sitting there. So it's like, I don't know if I can.
I don't think so. It's pretty thin. It's a pretty thin phone.
I think maybe it's a Z Fold. I think the Z Fold, because I know somebody that has it. When I look at it, I'm like, that, to have to two-hand your phone, that's too much.
See, the Z Fold, I think the Z Fold is a little too much. I was like, you might as well just buy a tablet, bro. Why'd you need that?
Exactly.
But I think the Z Flip is, like, cool. I don't know. I think, like, it's giving the same vibes as, like a regular, like, flip phone. But, like, modern.
Yeah, I mean, the Z Flip I can understand. I think it's also the fact that it's mostly still touchscreen on both ends, I think. Or maybe I'm still thinking about the Z Flip. Like, it's still, like, fragile on the back. So it doesn't have the same, like, I can't, like, flip it, because if I do, I'm going to break the screen in half as I'm flipping it, like a flip phone. So I feel like in that way it loses points. But it still has that same aspect of the flipping out, which sort of feels nice and nostalgic. Even though I hate nostalgia bait too, so it's a whole layer of reasons why I don't like it as much as I probably should.
Yeah, I mean, I can get the nostalgia bait thing. I don't know if it's considered nostalgia bait for the. I guess it is though, because it's not like there's no real benefit to having like a flip phone, especially a smartphone's flip phone. Like, it don't really make sense.
Yeah, a smart flip phone makes no logical sense other than for the fact that people used to have flip phones and it's nostalgia bait. That's the only reason it makes sense.
But it's so cool, bro, and it works so well. You could like flip it. You could flip like halfway and have it like sitting on the floor, or like not the floor, but like a table. And you could like watch YouTube videos and stuff, like, you know what I'm saying? Or like how I've been seeing other people use it is like emulating games like Pokemon or something and like using it like a Game Boy.
Actually, that's pretty smart.
You know?
And that's still nostalgia bait. So, okay. Like, in all those ways, in my mind, it's not that it's bad, but it's the fact that it's capitalizing on that feature. So, I just don't want to get it because of that reason.
Dang.
And the Z Fold is just too big. Like, for me, the Z Fold is too big. The Z Flip is just nostalgia bait, primarily.
Z Fold is ignorant. I don't know. It's not a, it's not a good phone. I don't think so, at least.
I'm not gonna lie, for like taking pictures and stuff, it all makes sense. Like, it's all like this bigger screen, so you have like better details of like what you're watching. And if I wanted to like watch a video, I'd probably watch it on a Z Fold, all that stuff.
But, yeah, but like, get a tablet if you want to, you know what I'm saying, watch a video. Like,
I mean, that's the only like logical pro. It's the only logical pro I see.
Taking pictures, I'm sure there's better phones out there with better cameras.
But I mean, it covers more space. I don't know how it does it, but because it's like wider, it covers more space.
Like the sensors on the camera, or like?
Like the sensors, and I think when you take the photo, it actually has like a bigger aspect ratio.
I refuse to believe that the camera on the Z Fold is better than the Samsung, like the Ultra, Galaxy Ultra.
I mean, like the person that I know that has it, when they take the photos, I'm like, those are really good photos.
I wonder if they're the same like camera. I'm gonna do some research later.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's all equivalent. It's like if you say, oh, I have a Sony high-end camera versus I have a Canon high-end camera versus I have a Blackmagic high-end camera. Like, mine is one or two features. They're all about the same. And for the average consumer, like, they're all going to say, hey, can you get this in HD 60 frames? Whatever difference you have in, like, the slight ISO benefit or the slight frame rate difference doesn't really matter, because the end product usually is, oh, I just want something that's, like, 1080p.
Mm-hmm.
Or I want something that's at movie quality, so you only need it to record at 24 frames per second. Like, all those things sort of boils down the same way when you're taking the iPhone versus, like, the Z Fold versus the Z Flip versus the Galaxy. Like, it's all, in the end, they all equate to about the same level of quality.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
They're on the same, yeah. I don't know. Z Fold is pretty trash. Not a fan of that one. But also not a fan of how the iPhone is, like, they're trying to make a folding phone, too.
It's all nostalgia bait, and I hate it. I hate it so much.
What? No, you know what's really making me mad about it, though? It's like, okay, Apple's going to make a folding phone, right?
Yeah.
And it's going to be no different than a regular iPhone.
Yes, it's going to be the exact same thing, just folded.
At least the Z Flip had got other features.
Yeah,
iPhone Fold, they're probably gonna call it, or something, or the iFold. Oh man,
I can already see the ad for it. It's gonna be some person in like an old gear chewing on bubble gum, and then get a phone call. They're gonna have the iPhone flip and be like, "Hello," and they're gonna pop the bubble of the chewing gum that they're chewing on. Somewhere in the ad campaign, that's gonna be somebody.
You want to call that one? You want to put money on it?
What if I put money on? Why don't we put a Polymarket bet on that?
I don't doubt you.
I'm a conservative gambler, so I'd probably put like $20 on it.
Sounds very Apple-y.
I would wholesomely put $20 on it, and if I had enough money in the bank, like if I had enough money to not be able to lose it and be afraid of it, I would put like $1,000 on it.
My God. Oh, you're pretty confident.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll put $20 on it. But, yeah, man, I'm not happy with what Apple's got going on, man. Especially Tim Cook stepped down as a CEO. So he's no longer CEO at Apple anymore.
Who's the new CEO?
I don't even remember the guy's name. A young spry guy.
Is that the one that they made memes about, right? Like the guy that like slicks his hair back as he's like running down the hallway, getting to the next point?
No, that's I don't even know his name. He's so cool. I think he definitely deserved to be he deserved to be CEO before this new guy, John Ternus. That's what his name is.
It's crazy. You hear these names and it's like, I've never heard you. I've never seen you. I don't know how you get promoted to CEO out of nowhere.
He was a big part of like Apple's like design language now, like new design language.
Yeah. Even still, it always seems like these people come out of nowhere. You know what I mean?
Oh, he created Apple Silicon, their processors.
That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. And he's also the one who's heavy pushing this AI.
That is a big deal.
That's all Apple is now, bro. AI this, AI that. Ooh, Siri got a new app. AI, Siri AI.
That's what all the technologies companies are. I mean, Google has that whole AI technology where they, I mean, like you search up anything and the first thing that pops up is the AI suggested.
Google got it bad, bro.
Down bad.
If you want to talk about anybody forcing this stuff down your throat, it's Google.
For sure. Dude, yeah, the fact that it all of a sudden went from, oh, you search up the top five sites of something related to what you're searching to you get an AI summary about the same five things about like, oh, yeah, you want to search this thing. Here's the way you can do it. And maybe this is the person or the YouTube video you should use to find it. Okay. And that takes up like half the page before you actually get to any real sites you want to look at.
And it's also not correct sometimes either. It's just plain wrong.
Oh, yeah. People are wrong when they search it. Obviously, the AI is going to do the exact same thing. I think I searched
up one time. Have you seen those things where it's like, go ahead.
No, I searched up one thing one time about like how to, when I was trying to find the Discord overlay thing. And it was like, yeah, actually, I can't find anything about this. That thing doesn't exist. I was like, that's a lie and a half. What are you talking about, man?
Yeah, bro. It's like, yes, it does. Yes, it does. If you weren't here, I would have been able to find it.
Yeah, it would have been in the top six. Like, it would have been the top 10, but it wouldn't have been the top five sites because I had to scroll down a little bit to find it. But if you weren't there body blocking half the page, I would have definitely found it a few scrolls in.
Yeah, bro. Screw AI, screw Apple, screw Google. I'm your biggest ops now. Switching to Samsung.
I looked at the computer. The computer said, screw TI, screw Nelly.
He's like, screw me. Screw 50.
Speaking about that, I don't know if you've seen the like new Xbox Series X that they released.
Oh, the clear one? Yeah. The green one? Yeah, I did see it.
I feel like she would be on the receiving end. She'd be like, screw Tim Cook, screw Apple AI, screw Microsoft. And screw Xbox CEO. And it's like, what do you say screw me for?
And she's actually kind of cool. She's actually like doing her big one, bro. I can't lie.
She's living it up. It's one of those things where we're biding time to make sure she actually doesn't fall down the wrong path. But so far, she's hitting all the good blocks of like doing what's best for the Xbox and for the gaming community versus what's best for Microsoft's like bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Xbox Series X and the commercials that are coming back, they all build off the same premise of what an Xbox is, which is this futuristic technology. But it still has, well, I feel like she's also correcting. She's definitely correcting for like the mistakes of prior CEOs and Xbox marketing teams.
Nah, don't say prior CEOs, bro. We're gonna name him.
I forgot his name.
Phil Spencer.
Point. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. I ain't dropping no hints on nothing. I'm calling him out. Phil Spencer.
He said, let that man know.
I've never seen someone run a company like into a hole so fast. Over the last like 8 years, this man has just killed the Xbox like logo. People don't even respect the company no more.
No, but she, dude.
Their competition don't even respect them. Oh, my fault. I get mad talking about Xbox.
I mean, when you see it fall from grace, it's always like, and I grew up on this, you know, like it's when you see your childhood superhero become just a regular person. It's like, geez, they had so much to do. But Asha Sharma, she definitely is healing that brand.
She doing it, man. I like it.
Yeah, mad props to her for bringing it back. And also, it's just the fact that she's putting in more creativity, I feel like, into the gaming sphere. Because at this point, a lot of people are falling back into like the same routine of this is like the best, most efficient way to do this. So here's like the very basics of how a gaming computer should work, or here's the very basics of how a gaming console should work. And it doesn't have to be all this flashy new thing. It's just like the very basics of a UI, the very basics of a design language. Like it's nothing new or unique. It's just like new to you. You know what I mean?
It's new things. It's not new. It's just like things that should have been done in the first place.
Yeah.
It's sad that like she had to do it. You know what I'm saying? Someone who doesn't play games. Someone who was the AI director at Instacart. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. She has nothing. She knows nothing about Xbox. And how is she doing a better job?
You need somebody outside of the realm of sphere to be like, what are y'all doing?
Man, that's sad. Phil Spencer, you should be ashamed.
Asha Sharma, I just want to say I apologize for my... I was one of the people that was like on the fence about it. Mainly just because it was like, you know, somebody new who had nothing to do with gaming. I don't know exactly how she was going to fit into the sphere. And she's doing a big, big one. So I want to formally apologize for my inconceivable notions about like how you would actually function. So, Gomenosai.
Gomenosai. On another note, I think, what was our other topic?
Blue Origin. Very, very big news in the astrophysics, astro everything community. But
talk to me, bro. What's going on?
Basically, the beginning of June, or it was late May, they had the Blue Origin New Glenn rocket was doing like a test, very like dry fire test of their rocket system just to make sure it can actually work on the rocket pad and, you know, all the ignition sequences would work. During that test, it blew up.
Oh.
No other way to say it other than it blew up and damaged the actual pad that it was on. It was a huge... Honestly, I didn't even put two and two together. If you look at all the videos of the explosion, it's almost like it's the daytime down in Florida for like 2 minutes.
Dang.
Like, it's like super bright. I mean, it's a little cloudy, so like all the light is bouncing off the cloud. So you'd sort of think it's like maybe the sun is setting or something. Like, it's bright enough to say like you could not need like your headlights on while you're driving. But it happened at like 9 p.m. So it was like super dark prior to that. And then all of a sudden it just gets super bright.
Oh my God. I'm just now looking at this. This looks crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Was there any casualties? This is insane.
No, there weren't any casualties, fortunately. But I mean, oh my it was God. A huge explosion. Yeah, if you want to look at the video, for anybody that's listening, it when you realize it's 9 p.m. when the thing blows up, and you see all the videos watching, even for the people that... I saw one video where there's like 5-10 people maybe that were all filming it because they might have been doing like a hangout or something, and you can see it in the distance. It doesn't look like it's 9 p.m. when they're filming it.
Yeah, it looks like it's like at least 6.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest explosions, I would say, since one of the Falcon rockets exploded back in like 2019. So this is a pretty big deal. And it's also a big deal because this rocket was used, or was planning to be used, for the next Artemis 3 mission. So this sort of sets a bad precedent in terms of what's actually possible, or really the safety features on this rocket for next year. Especially since it's supposed to happen next year.
That's a big explosion, dude. Oh my God. You said this was for Artemis 3? That's what they was using this rocket for?
That's the plan for it. So this is the New Glenn rocket that they're going to use for the moon lander. I believe the New Glenn rocket is going to be the one that like assists with most of the stuff going from Earth into orbit. And then they're going to have a SpaceX sort of moon lander that this could actually like land on the moon.
Mm.
So this is a big deal because it's really NASA, Blue Origin, and SpaceX working together to make Artemis 3 happen. And the fact that basically by next year, this rocket that just exploded is going to be used to put people in space. It puts a question to the safety of the rocket, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially since next year, they're supposed to just send it into space. So if this huge explosion happens this close to the deadline, it's really a question of like what... It's really a question of what other faults can happen in the next year. Because, I mean, think about it. The Artemis 2 mission was pushed back by like 2 months. And that was because they had like a small leak in one of the boosters. No explosion. So they have a huge explosion. And not only that, they damaged the launch pad with this Blue Origin rocket. So, and the last explosion, like the Falcon explosion that happened, it took them a year or 2 years to fix the launch pad.
Dang.
So, I mean, I don't think they didn't specifically use that launch pad for the actual Artemis 3 mission, but if it caused that much damage to the launch pad, then it just puts into question about the safety of that rocket.
Yeah, it seems like it. That was an insane explosion. I've never seen anything like that. I'm so glad no one got hurt, though.
I mean, that's actually the most fortunate part about it, the fact that the biggest explosion has like the least amount of casualties for what could have gone down.
Zero casualties? Like none?
Yeah. From everything that
Wow.
I've read so far, it's been zero. I think it was, like I said, it was like a dry run, so like nobody was like really near where they needed to be. It was all pretty remote, other than like the mission control, which mission control was never really that close to the actual rocket, so. It's all pretty
Wow.
fortunate, to be honest. So we'll see.
Okay. Well,
But it is the biggest thing in space news as of recently. It is the biggest
I
South Sea
bet.
shells by the sea. It is the biggest news for the space community as of recent.
Did you just like say like a little tongue twister? What was that?
Yeah. I realized I was saying a lot of S's, so I was just practicing.
Okay.
That was me grounding myself real quick to make
Okay.
sure that my mind is still sharp and I don't have like the onset dementia symptoms.
For sure. Just curious. What was our next topic?
Next topic. I was actually gonna bring up a hypothetical.
Go ahead.
Speaking about question and reality. If you wanted to know everything, like if you had to know everything about a few topics, like if you knew everything since high school, you had your basic knowledge base, and then you had to become like a master expert on a few topics, and then be like, I don't need to learn anything else. Like this is all I need to know for the rest of my life, and I'll be fine. What would
Okay.
those three, I'd say 3 to 5 topics
Like school
would those be?
topics?
No, not like you could be like, I mean, for example, for me, if I knew everything that I know so far, but I wanted to expand on a few things and then be like, I'm done learning. Like, I don't need to learn anymore. Aviation. It's like everything to do about aviation, like everything about aerodynamics, everything about how planes are built, everything about the different types of planes, all that stuff. Everything about history. Because then if anybody says, I don't know what this is like or how this was like back in the day, I can be like, well, back in 1965, this day of this year, of this this month, my bad. I already said 1965. But I can like speak about a specific person or event that happened and not seem like a fool. Astrophysics, because I just like to learn all about space. So if I can learn as much about that as possible, I feel like I mentally can understand my place in the world and it would make sense. And then martial arts. So then that way I'd be like, don't mess with me. And then just like punch somebody in the kneecap and then all of a sudden they like explode or something.
Okay.
And then nobody messes with me. And then I feel like from that point on, if I learned nothing else but any other thing, I would be fine.
Okay. I would probably choose like social media. Like if I can learn everything about social media, that'd be nice. Astronomy. Don't Maybe some sort of like all types of math. And culinary. Like that. Yeah. But like if I knew everything about cooking, like I feel like I'd just be that guy, you know what I'm saying? Regardless.
That's actually a good one too. Dang, I thought I should have thought about that. No, but I don't know. I was watching I should have wrote down exactly what part in the why am I blanking? I'm also coming off of it. I think I'm either getting a sickness or I'm coming off of it, and I don't know which. So my mind is a little foggy today, but. I was watching a podcast, and in the podcast, they had mentioned something about like knowing things. And as a comic, it would be interesting to know, like, what would people want to know, to the fact that they feel like they know everything, or they feel comfortable being like, I'm an expert in these five things, and anything outside of that, I don't care about. And so I just figured that it was like a weird, and it, I mean, they didn't ask this question verbatim, but just like what they were talking about at the part I was watching made me think about that question.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I if I knew like everything, like, do I know everything about this topic, like to the point where there's nothing else to learn, or is it just like a,
like, if anybody asks you a question about that topic, you'd be like, oh, I know the answer.
Okay.
So, like, if somebody said, oh, what's the best way to make a souffle? You'd be like, oh, yeah, here's the best way to make a souffle. Like, almost hands down. Like, there's no question about the way you make the souffle being the best, because you know everything about it.
Right.
So, like, if somebody asked you about social media, and they're like, oh, how do I make a post? You'd be like, oh, I know how to make a post. I mean, that's basic. But if somebody says, oh, I want to make, like, a social media brand that gets 10,000 followers in the next 2 months, how do I make a social media account that does that? You'd also have the answer.
Okay.
Like you just know from the very basic to the very advanced. Like, you could basically walk into a room. You could walk into the room that, like, Instagram or Meta, and if they ask you something about their platform, you'd probably know it at that same level.
Oh, okay. I get what you're saying.
In terms of utilizing it, if that's, like, the way you want to know. Like, if I walked into a room of historians and they asked me a history question, I would know it on equal lengths or of, like, a similar caliber to them. Or, like, if I were to go into the martial arts tournament, the 23rd Budokai Tenkaichi, I'd be able to know and beat up about the same, at that same level.
Yeah, that'd be, like, kind of, you know, crazy. Martial arts would go dumb. Oh, yeah. I would love martial arts, too. Know everything about martial arts? Oh, my God. You can make it far.
Yeah.
But you have to have your, like, you'd be on, like, some Deku, like, type vibe.
I mean, yeah, probably. But,
like, you know so much about karate and stuff, but, like, you wouldn't be able to execute it because your body just can't handle it. Like, you probably explode every time you try to punch something.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the part to, like, build up to, being able to actually physically endure the same amount of things. But, like, if I could know everything about it, like, know when somebody throws this punch, they have, like, these two combos that they usually follow up with, and I could probably mentally figure out, like, the best way to counter it.
Would I be able to learn about everything about, like, the military? Is that a topic that, like...
If you wanted to, yeah. If you said I wanted to be the best... military, like, if the topic you wanted to know was everything about the military, like, military history, then
maybe military was the word. Okay, government, like, everything that's going on in the government, like, even stuff that's, like, underlying and stuff, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, would I be, like, number one government official?
I mean, I guess if, like, you wanted to be, like, the number one politician, like, if you wanted to understand politics, like, political science, then you would technically be the best political science person to have ever lived. Or on that same level. Like, you'd be, like, top five.
Or at least that's, I think that's, I would want to know everything about... Actually, I'm changing my answer. I take math out and put science in. Everything about science in total. Yeah. And I keep it broad like that, just so that way I would know more.
I will accept that as an answer. But basically, the idea is that you could go into the high-end, advanced level of any topic you thought about, and you'd be on equal level with them. Like, if you think of the top five science minds of our time currently, you walked in the room, and they would walk up being like, oh, he knows a lot more than I do, or just as much as I do.
That's the goal.
About that topic. Yeah.
I want to recreate the Demon Core.
You do not want to recreate the Demon Core.
I do. I feel like we have an attempt at again since then, and I feel like we need to.
Listen, the Demon Core, it's a power that no person should have.
I think we do need it.
I mean, we do have, like, nuclear energy, which I think we could bring back. It just has to be...
Not on a Demon Core level.
Well, the thing with the Demon Core is it's basically a bomb that they've just, like, not made into a bomb. Like, it doesn't have the exact criticality to turn into a bomb.
Well, I know.
But it's very close.
I'm aware. But that energy, you know what I'm saying? I feel like we could do something with that, man. We're not really... Mm-mm.
I mean, that's technically what nuclear energy is.
Where are we at with that right now?
I mean, we're pretty well advanced with it. I mean, other than Chernobyl, which sort of put a bad taste in everybody's mouth about it. And I think that incident that happened in Japan in 2010, that also sort of put another recent memory of bad nuclear energy.
Demon core smaller.
Yeah, but also it's just like highly radioactive. Like, there's nothing
outside of that, it's
not producing that much power outside of like radioactivity on its own.
You don't think so?
I don't. Well, you know what?
You don't know that.
The only thing I remember from the Demon Core is that like everybody that sort of messes with it usually dies of like very acute radiation sickness because they do something dumb like put a freaking screwdriver in between the two cores.
See, that's where we was messing up. Why were we using it? Okay. Listen. I get it. Back then, we wasn't thinking clearly, right? Nowadays, though, we have robot arms that can handle all this for us. You know what I'm saying? We don't even have to be near it. I'm just confused on why we haven't like brought it back up.
Do you want to change one of your topics to be like the best nuclear engineer of all time?
So I just want to be really good at. I would love to just be really good at just the Demon Core. Yeah. just that. I don't want to be good at anything else except the Demon Core. Yeah, I'll take all of science out and just put just the Demon Core.
That's. Hold on, I'm reading one just to make sure, but I'm. The Demon Core is pretty. Yeah, the Demon Core was just basically supposed to be used for like a bomb.
Well, they weren't trying to make energy out of this, man. I feel like that's wasted potential.
I mean, that's what nuclear power plants do. They take nuclear reactivity and technically they make nuclear energy, turn all that heat to then create steam, and then the steam pushes like turbines. So it's really a more complicated like steam engine. But
okay. So what made the Demon Core? So actually, I feel like that's the topic for another day. Let's move on, bro. Let's move on.
Yeah, we can move on. I think honestly, it's about time for Meme of the Week.
Okay, I don't even know what that is. So go ahead, throw it on me.
Meme of the Week. I don't know this one. I think because this is really our first episode since Pride started. It's
oh, a happy meme Pride, about y'all, a, by the way.
Oh yeah, happy Pride. But it was a meme that I saw recently about, I think it was a New Zealand governor or New Zealand election candidate. And he was talking about, you know, as long as gay people are like doing their thing, let a thousand blossoms bloom, you know, like whatever. But I won't deal with the crocodiles that are killing our people off by the river or whatever.
What?
I thought I you sent it to you. Me? I'm pretty sure I sent it to you.
Let me see.
I mean, you know, people are entitled to their sexual proclivities, you know. I mean, let there be a thousand blossoms bloom as far as I'm concerned, you know. But I ain't spending any time on it because in the meantime, every 3 months, a person is torn to pieces by a crocodile in North Queensland.
In the video, God, his face it's super like funny. Completely changes.
Dude, and like what I'm saying, it's the moment right as he thinks about the crocodile. It's not even the fact that he says
crocodiles. As soon as he starts thinking about the crocodile, it's like so serious too.
Yeah, he has like an eradication plan ready in his mind, like Aaron Yeager. Like it's actually like he got hit with like the coordinate.
No, that was crazy. I didn't. His face change was funny.
It's so funny. Anyways, I'll put the audio in the video. In this episode so you can hear it, but you won't get the full effect until you see the video.
Yeah, you gotta watch the video.
It's hilarious. Yeah,
yeah, he was like, he's basically like, Yeah, I love the gays. I'm a big fan of them. Let them blossom, you know what I'm saying? But I can't even focus on them letting them blossom because we got all these crocodiles torn up all our people.
The crocodiles are killing our people. I've been saying it from the beginning.
You come across this stuff a lot more than I do, but I would have never seen that. I didn't even see the Blue Origin blow up.
I mean, you know, I am a fan of the internet, so like I see these things, and that's honestly what started this podcast in a way. It was just to be able to like talk about the things that I see, and I feel like a lot of people in our generation, especially that use the internet a lot, see.
I feel like I use the internet a lot. I don't know. I just don't see it. Maybe I'm on a different side of the internet, though.
And that's why it's a spectrum, baby.
It's a spectrum, bro. It's a spectrum. That's the fun part about this stuff, man. That's why I do what I love.
I mean, but yeah, that's our meme of the week. In support of Pride, happy Pride.
Happy Pride, y'all.
I feel like that's a relevant meme that if you haven't seen it, you should see it.
Yeah, go watch the, I don't know, what is it, North Queensland, he said? North something.
Yeah, North Queensland.
Nothing there. But yeah. All right. Well, I think that was our episode.
That is our episode. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Khalil.
And I'm Basil. And stay dangerous.
And watch out for the crocodiles.
Everybody, this is Glenna Bell, and you're listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
You know what was on the jukebox in the front. Now Matt the Cat's going to show you what was on the juke in the back.
Ow! Hep cats and crazy kittens. I'm Matt the Cat, back on the scene with my jukebox machine, ready to spin an hour of stone-cold rhythm and blues, and the soul that came before rock and roll. Welcome to the juke in the back. Last week, we began a three-part series on the Shakespeare of rock and roll, Chuck Berry. In part one, we focused on Chuck's first year of recording, from mid-1955 through mid-1956. This week in part two, we pick up in mid-1956 and carry it through to the end of 57. It's part two of Chuck Berry, this week on the Juke in the Back. Now, before we get too deeply into part two, let's recap. It's 1955, and Chuck Berry records his first song, Maybelline, released by Chess Records, which climbed to number one for 11 solid weeks back in the summer of 1955. Even better, it crossed over to number five on the pop chart, making it a certified hit bought by both black and white audiences, particularly teenagers, because Chuck Berry had launched, almost single-handedly, a new form of music, rock and roll, which by simplest definition is rhythm and blues music aimed at teenagers. Maybelline took the familiar theme of the hot rod race and repackaged it in teenage terms. Its flip side, the very bluesy Wee Wee Hours, also charted, rising to number 10, making his debut single a double-sided hit, not bad. By October, Chuck Berry was back, with a new single charting to number 2, It's 30 Days, followed in early 56 by the number 8 charter, No Money Down, another car song. Then we get to my favorite Chuck Berry record, from the early summer of 56, Roll Over Beethoven, announcing to the world that rock and roll was here, and that those that don't reside in the hip class better step aside. Roll Over Beethoven, tell Tchaikovsky the news. Man, I dig those rhythm and blues. The single Roll Over Beethoven went to number 2 and crossed over to number 29 pop. I'd like to begin this show with another version of Roll Over Beethoven. This one recorded live during the summer of 1956 on Alan Freed's Camel Rock and Roll Dance Party Show. This program aired on WINS in New York and nationally over CBS Radio. Then it was repackaged for servicemen overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Network. The band backing Chuck up on this number is directed by the great saxman Sam the Man Taylor. So hold on to your hats and dig, because man, the audience is really with Chuck on this. They start shouting right in the middle of this number. Perfect way to kick off part two of our three-part series on the early recordings of Chuck Berry, right here on the Juke in the Back. Now take it away, Alan Freed.
Right back to the mic with Roll Over Beethoven.